Well, good morning, friends, and welcome back to Good Morning Live. It is so good to be with you today. I pray that you are up about your day. Hope it's starting well, and that you're ready to dive into the Word of God today, because I am. I want to remind you that if you are on a platform that you can do it, like, comment, share, subscribe, whatever options you see there. Of course, we want to welcome our TikTok friends and our Instagram and our X and our, what else is there? I don't know all the places that we are. Of course, Pioneer Television Network, Facebook, YouTube, everybody watching. We're so glad that you are with us today and hope that this program is a blessing to you. Well, this week we've been talking about divine order and what it looks like to have divine order in different areas of our life. We understand that when we have divine order, that we are reflecting the nature of God and who He is, because God has not created us to be living a life of chaos and disarray and, just frazzled all the time. But He wants us to have order. Why? Because order releases peace into our lives. So it doesn't mean that we're never going to have a bad day or a rough start or, you know, a hard, stressful time in our lives. But what it does mean is that when we have divine order, our eyes are fixed where it needs to be fixed, that we understand the peace of God can be shed abroad in our hearts and give us peace beyond reasonable understanding. Like how do they remain calm when all, crisis is breaking out around them? How do they remain steadfast when it's like, man, I'd freak out and give up and quit? How do they do it? Well, we do it by keeping divine order in our lives. We understand that we seek first the kingdom of God, then all these other things will be added unto Him. So we looked at just having divine order in our lives. We looked at having divine order yesterday in our homes, what it looks like to do our best to make sure that our relationships, especially in our home life, are in divine order. And today I want to talk about something that I believe is just as essential to having divine order in our homes. It's having divine order in the church, divine order in the church. And you might say, well, what does that have to do with any divine order in the church? Well, I think we've lost the power sometimes of understanding the power of the local church and the church that you are attached to. For many people, going to a local church is window shopping for your favorite style, your favorite brand, your favorite, I've always been in the belief that we are the body of Christ. Yes, we are all linked together, but everybody has every body part has a unique, specific purpose and gift set and designed to function within the full realm of the body. And I've always believed that we aren't shopping for churches. We are called and on an assignment in the local church, and that we will never meet our full potential and our full expectation that God has for us when we treat the church and where we go to church as just another option, but instead prayerfully considering, Lord, where am I assigned? Where have you called me? Where am I to be planted? Where am I, supposed to do life with other people and plant my children? And when we look at church in that regard, then it becomes less of a social thing that if I feel like doing on a weekend, I'll do. And it looks like something that it's an assignment from God of where I'm to plug in and to serve, to impact my community and impact my world. And I believe when we approach church with that mindset, again, we've talked about this a lot, but it breaks that consumer mindset. Well, I'm here to see what you will give me, but says, hey, I'm here on assignment from God. I'm called to this house. I'm called to be plugged in and planted and serve and bring my gifts and my talents and do all that I can do to increase the gospel and the call of God on my life. So, again, I believe when we approach ministry that way and we approach church life that way, it changes everything. Why? Because the church is not a building. It's not a social club. It's a body of believers. It's a body of people, a group of people on assignment to serve God in that vision and to serve God in their community and world in a specific way. And just like the human body, if one part is out of order, come on, the whole body feels it. If one part of the body, come on, if your disc is out of order, your whole body feels it. I was playing around with my kids a few weeks ago, and I don't know why I thought I can just do a handstand or whatever. And, you know, we're all just carrying on. And I went to roll like on my neck to do it, to put my feet up on the ceiling. And the minute I bent my head to roll on it, I felt it. I felt it, right? And I'll tell you, it was a miserable week after I strained my neck, because it's like somebody wants to talk to me and, you know, you can't do that. So you're like, hey, what's going on? You know, and yeah, I got to shift your whole body. Why? Because when one part is out of alignment, the whole body feels it. And I believe that God has divine order for his church, Big C, but I believe God has divine order in every specific local congregation. And it's our goal that the Spirit, his Spirit can move freely, and that the mission and call can advance. And that happens when every part is joined together in divine order, doing what God has called them to do. Listen to 1 Corinthians 12:18. It says, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. Now God has set. Now again, I want you to pay attention to that. God has set the members. Again, I believe you got to go where you're called. Listen, and I've had people who have been with me for years and say, Pastor, we feel like God's calling me over here to serve. And listen, when it's done out of that heart and spirit, I celebrate it, because God changes assignments, right? But sometimes people are like, well, I didn't like the song that they sing, or, you know, this church over here has all the bells and whistles. And again, if God's called you to where the bells and whistles are, great. We do that. That's where you're supposed to be. But I believe that God has called each person to a specific body of believers. And listen to what 1 Corinthians just said. But now God has set the members. God has set them. It's not a window shopping. God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he has pleased. So today we're going to see how God designed his church to function in order and not confusion, that every member finds their place, every gift flows, every believer is built up, the mission of God is accomplished, the community is impact, souls are being saved, and the divine call of God on that house is being fulfilled. And it does not happen by accident, and it happens when every part of the body is functioning. Continuing on in 1 Corinthians, this is in 12, verse 27, all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts that God has appointed for the church. First, the apostles. Second, the prophets. Third, our teachers. And then those who do miracles, and those who have the gift of healing, and those who can help others. So the church has a God-given structure, an apostolic covering, a prophetic direction, a foundation of solid teaching. And then, of course, the support of all of those who serve to make it happen. And this is not, we just read it, this is not man's design. This is God's appointment, right? And just like the military has roles that, you know, in order for an invasion to happen, in order for a mission to happen, everybody's got a role. Everybody has assignments. Some are by air, some are by sea, right? But everybody's working together. Some are in a control room, some are on the ground, right? But everybody's on an assignment together to make the mission happen. And so God gives the church order that it can function effectively in spiritual battle. So let me submit this to you. If you are part of a church family, and I know we have people listening to us from all around the world, so you may not attend Hope City Church as your local church, but wherever you attend as your local church, number one, ask God, Lord, have you assigned me there, or am I there because I window shopped? Where's my assignment? But if you are there and you believe it's a God assignment, then you are not there by accident. You have been set there by God. Romans 12 again, speaks to this. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. So no gift is unnecessary. No member is disposable. An eye cannot say to a hand, I think 1 Corinthians 12 would go on to say this, that I don't need you, right? But of course, the eye would say to the hand, I need you. I can see it, but I can't grab it, right? And the hand could say, listen, I can grab it, but I can't get there without you, right? So we belong together. We need each other. We're stronger when the body's functioning together. And it's a lie of the adversary and it's a ploy of the enemy to get you to look at somebody else's gift set and say, well, I wish I could sing like them. I wish I could prophesy like them. I wish I could preach like them. I wish I had their talent or their ability. Listen, every part is essential. Every role in the house of God, in the church, is essential. When members are out of place, the body limps forward. But when they're in place, come on, the body thrives. We can run. We can gain ground. We can accomplish mission. Like, what good is a puzzle if one piece is missing, right? It will never be complete, even if it's 99.9% there. And I believe the same is true in the church. I believe that one of the greatest hindrances to the church functioning in the way that it's called to function is sometimes it's not that people aren't there. It's that they're sitting on the sidelines watching everybody else. You know, the verse that we just read here said apostles and prophets and teachers would actually go on to say to train others for the work of the ministry. See, a lot of people approach church life and they say, well, I'm here to support the pastor in making the church go forward and support the elder team and, you know, support the worship team. No, we're actually here on our own assignment by God to say we are called to equip and train this local body of believers that they would work the ministry, that they would be laying hands on the sick, that they would be advancing the kingdom of God. So what is he saying? There are no sidelines here. There's no call for anyone to be on the sideline saying, well, we'll watch you take the ball down the field. Every player's essential. Every player has a role. Every person has an assignment. My assignment is to train the local body here at Hope City Church. Your pastor's assignment is to train you and those in your house to work the ministry, to effectively do what God's called you to do in your sphere of influence, to train you and teach you to have the boldness to go out into your job and to lay hands on the sick, your job and evangelize, your job and to tell people about Jesus, to go into your world and enforce the kingdom of God in that sphere. Right? So we got to change our mindset. I'm here on assignment. You're here on assignment. We're all doing this thing together. And when every part is together, come on, that's when stuff starts to happen. So if we understand that, come on, church is God's idea, a body together accomplishing a mission. There's a divine order within the house of God. Listen, the order brings unity and power. Order brings unity and power in the house of God. Psalms 133, verse 1 says, how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. There the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting. The Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting. Where brethren dwell together in harmony. Come on. Listen, some people get this confused because they think, oh, well, they're trying to make us all like, you know, in a cult where we all act the same, look the same, talk the same. Listen, unity is not uniformity. It's everyone playing their part in harmony. A drum will never do what a flute can do. And a flute can't do what a piano can do. But when they all do their individual parts, come on, they're all uniquely sound different. They all are uniquely styled. They all look different. They are all played different. They all have their own gift sets. But when they're all played together in harmony, that's when you have something powerful. So we're not looking for uniformity. We're looking for harmony, for unity. Every person doing that divine call of God on their life. Listen, that's why the early church was powerful. Not because they all looked the same, not because they all acted the same, but because they were in one accord. There is no greater thing that will divide a nation, that will divide a home, that will divide a church than division. Division breeds disorder. And as we've been saying, order fuels revival. Chaos does not bring revival. Order brings revival. Sometimes we have in our minds, well, revival's messy and revival's no. Revival comes on the back of steadfast prayer, steadfast commitment, steadfast, just grabbing onto the altars, holding ground, right? That revival's birthed on the backside of that. Revival's not birthed on, well, I'll show up when I feel like it. I'll do whatever I want to do. And, you know, no, revival's birthed on the backs of men and women who refuse to give up and to quit. And everyone's doing their part. We're all praying. We're all interceding. We're all on mission. We're all going after the things of God. That's when revival breaks out. The unity in the church, come on, it's not optional. It's essential for God's blessing to flow. It's essential for God's blessings to flow. Disorder will hinder a move of God. Again, 1 Corinthians 14, 40 would tell us this, excuse me. Let all things be done decently and in order. Come on. Disorder in worship, in leadership, in relationships quenches the Spirit's flow. And that's why the devil loves to sow discord in churches. He loves to get people to gossip, to get people to be jealous, to get people to be offended. Why? Because when order breaks down, the anointing is hindered. Listen, I'm not preaching here patriarchy where, you know, that's not what I'm getting at. I'm saying when everyone is after the same thing and everyone is doing their part, can you imagine what worship would sound like and be like and how the Spirit would move and respond when everyone in the room comes to the table ready? Everyone in the room comes to the table with eyes on Jesus, you know, not distracted, not worrying about this stuff, but we're all worshiping. We're all in one accord. We're all pressing into the heart of God. Can you imagine how the Spirit of God would flow and move? And he says, I've commanded a blessing there when brethren are dwelling in unity like that. But when order breaks down, when we're sitting on the sidelines and we're all just doing our own thing, that's when the anointing is hindered. Listen, a traffic intersection without signals, come on, leads to chaos, leads to crashes, leads to injury. But order in the house of God allows a safe flow of traffic, right? Everybody knows when to go. And so it is in the church. So we got to protect our hearts from the spirit of offense. Come on, you can't. And here's what I think is so interesting. If we, like I said at the beginning, it's how you approach this. If you believe, well, I'm just window shopping and I'll go wherever suits my fancy, well, then great. This message is not for you. But for those who believe that they're called to a house for an assignment, I think it's so interesting because you get offended at your job, right? And we don't treat our jobs like, well, hopefully not, that, well, you know, I'm offended, so I'm out of here. Well, and if you do, you're probably financially in strains. Why? Because you're jumping from one thing to another. You're never allowing a career to develop or promotion to happen because you're always living in offense. But even in our work life, we push through offenses. We work it out. We do what we have to do. We keep showing up day after day. Why? Because we need to work. But sometimes we approach church life and somebody offends us and man, we're out the door. We're not serving. We quit. We're done. We're not, you know, and it's like, our job, yes, it can be an assignment from God, but our church family, our church community, that is a divine, holy thing to be called into, to function in. But yet we give up so quick. I always laugh, you know, when parents say, well, I don't want to come to church. You know, my kids don't want to go. Well, your kids don't want to go to school, right? And none of us are saying, well, I mean, you can go if you want to. No, you're getting up, you're going to school, because if not, mommy and daddy are going to jail, right? Like, there are laws in place that you have to be at school. We don't make it an option. But for some reason, we make the Church of God an option for our children. And I'm saying, if we believe we are called to a house for divine assignment and divine appointment, then we're going to respond to the house of God in that way. Not out of legalism, but out of knowing that, listen, I'm here to serve. I'm here because this is where God has assigned me. I belong. I have a purpose. And this mission will never go forward until I'm doing what it is that God has called me to do. So the goal of divine order in the house of God is maturity and mission. Listen to Ephesians 4:11. Now, these are the gifts that Christ gave the church. Again, we read this, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people. Equip God's people to do his work, to build up the church. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that will be mature in the Lord. So having that divine order, divine structure, builds maturity. Not just attendance, it builds maturity. The church exists, its role exists to equip the saints, not entertain the saints. When order is honored in the house of God, mission is advanced, reaching the lost happens, discipling believers happens, expanding the kingdom of God happens. So I preach this today, and I want to, you know, just parenthetically insert this right here. I understand that we live in a day and a culture where many people have been abused in the life of the church because it's out of order. You know, there are pastors who have big egos and are abusing their staff, and you know, people do all kind of crazy things in the name of religion. And that's certainly not what I'm preaching here today. Well, that you're called and you walk blindly, you know, and following a person. No, you balance everything out in the Word of God. The same Holy Spirit that's in your pastor is the same Holy Spirit that's in you. And you know, so I am certainly not saying that, you know, well, even though you're being spiritually abused and manipulated, you just do it because that's no, then that house is out of order, right? Because if the role of the divine orders that the pastors, the prophets, the teachers, the evangelists are called to train and equip the members of the church to work the ministry, if that's not happening, if they're on an ego trip, if they're abusing people, if they're manipulating people, well, then they are out of divine order, right? They're not doing what God has called them to do, and the whole house is out of divine order, and there needs to be a change there. So I am certainly not saying, I am not preaching that we follow people blindly and just say, well, that's what the church said, so that's what I'm doing. Come on, you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. But what I am saying is where we go to church is essential. Where we plant our kids is essential. And I just think in the American culture, we approach it with a mindset of, where do I feel it? Where do I feel? Right? Like, we, all of our churches have the welcome home. We want everyone to feel like you, when you walk through the doors, that's home. And that's not, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. We do that as well. What I'm saying is really what we should be doing is saying, has God called you? Where has he planted you? Where has he put you on assignment and mission to serve? Because now, when you know you're there because you've been placed by God, you've been called by God, you will survive through the thick and the thin of it. You will be behind the mission. You won't be on the sidelines because you know that this isn't a random accident. This is a divine calling and a divine purpose of where I serve and where I advance the kingdom of God and where I plant my family, because where you attend church is essential. So quickly today, discover your place. Ask God where he's called you to serve in the local body. I don't care where you go to church. I don't care how busy your schedule is. you're called to serve in the body. Number two, develop your gift. Don't bury it. Sharpen it through prayer, study, practice. You know, I can't tell you how many times people have, you know, auditioned for the worship ministry. Well, they feel called to play or they feel called to sing. Well, guess what? They can't play and they can't sing. Now, sometimes it's just because, you know, there's that American Idol syndrome where somebody convinced them that they are God's gift and they're not even on tune, right? Like they need to find their real assignment. But sometimes it's like, you know what? You're close. We had somebody audition years ago to play an instrument. It was terrible. It was a disaster. But they had played somewhere in another church, and I don't know how they let them or why they let them. And we were just like, listen, you got potential. You just need to take more lessons. You just need to stay on rhythm. I mean, man, they were offended and they were out the door. And listen, we're trying to help you out. We're trying to say, you know, so sometimes people think, well, the church is, well, you know, we don't have to bring excellence and, you know, I can sing a little bit or no. The church isn't a place where we bring our leftovers or, you know, the church is a place that I'm serving in the house of God and I'm bringing this as a gift to God. And if I'm teaching in my kids' class, you know, I'm a teacher, I'm not showing up late and putting a lesson together last minute. Come on, I'm on divine assignment. I'm here to bring a message that can impact children. Most adults who are Bible believing Christians were saved as a child because a Sunday school teacher was ready. So no, I'm not putting something together last minute. I'm bringing my A game. I'm bringing my best. I'm going to develop my craft. I'm going to make sure that when I'm greeting at the door or I'm working wherever in the church I'm working, I'm bringing my best. Why? Because I'm doing it as unto the Lord. I'm doing it because it's a divine assignment in God, right? So develop your gift, develop it. Don't let the house of God get second. Come on, keep developing your craft. And number three, defend the unity. Refuse gossip and offense. Always choose love and forgiveness. Understand the enemy is working overtime to try to disrupt the unity of the house of God. Number four, dedicate yourself. Be faithful in your role. Your consistency matters. Wherever you go to church, your consistency matters. So this week, take one step towards actively serving in your local church, where God has placed and called you. And I believe it'll make all the difference. I believe that your church will be stronger. I believe your community will be more impacted. Yeah, I believe that life will never be as sweet as it is as when you are walking in divine assignment. So Father, thank you in the name of Jesus for this time together. Lord, I pray that this message and this teaching has stirred our hearts, caused us to elevate our faith, understand the divine order in the church and its role in our lives, and help us get plugged in. Help us serve with all of our heart. Help us give the house of God our best and not just what's left over. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being with me today. I love you, and I'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Go with God, and remember, God loves you. He's not mad at you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.